to this computer. And this is going to start the live stream, y'all. So, port cloud. Live customer recording. Preparing to live stream the meeting. We'll see how this goes, y'all. Well, I've got
Distribute.
an extra character in my address there. There we go. That may do it. Let me go over here to Zoom and see if I can change this. Yep, there it is. Edit. There the problem is right there. Say, okay. Let me see if I can, go over here. I'm gonna hit okay and start the live stream again. Stop. Hang on, y'all hit the wrong one.
Hey, Coco.
Live on custom live.
Coco, you're famous there,
Aww.
dog.
Coco.
He's a beautiful dog.
Thank you.
Okay.
He's a happy dog, too, which makes him beautiful, even more beautiful.
All right. It went to it. Stream started. Okay, we're live. We're live on live on I don't know if both of them, but we're live on something. So y'all,
Something's going
so
on.
I don't see it. Any of y'all have a Facebook account open?
Not I.
Huh?
I do.
You on my Facebook screen? Let me change the screen here and see if the first slide comes up.
I haven't been on it for a long time. I'm not a
I'm
frequent
just curious to
user.
see if this came up. I don't know where it.
Hey, Gary, we have the same sweater.
Oh, do we? Hey. Should be
Yeah,
on
you
my
sure do.
profile page.
Because
There
you
it
have
is.
excellent taste.
It looks like it's on there. So we'll see how this works. And it's definitely on, it looks like it's on YouTube.
I've got a screen that says custom live streaming service recording. So I don't know if that it's on my screen. I don't know if that's helpful or not.
I don't know. I can go back here. Well, I don't see it on YouTube, but I can go out there and check it later. But it's definitely on, it looks like it's on.
Is that you,
Yeah.
honey? I forgot what you looked like when you had dark hair.
Yeah, that was when I
Of
was young.
course, that's
Well, we'll
probably
go
20
out and
years
check it
ago.
later and see if it's streamed on there.
Hey.
There's my book. All right, guess I need to get started on the meeting here. We got a lot of different things going at the same time, trying to start this stream stuff. So, do I have a, says it's just 2 minutes. Says it's streaming right now, so we'll see how that does. Let me restart this
Let me
here.
see, Kaka Google. Not sure.
Huh?
I see Gaga Google.
Well, it says it's streaming, so we'll see what happens at the end of it when I shut it down, see if it actually saves it to both of them. So at least it's a good try. We're on the right direction anyway.
Yeah.
So hello everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul. I know I was rambling on here at the beginning of this. I'm trying to live stream our meetings on both YouTube and Facebook at the same time because we have 5,700 followers on Facebook, and we only have 480 something on YouTube. And I've done everything but begged, borrowed, and pleaded with people to go subscribe to YouTube to get my YouTube subscribers up, but I can't seem to get anybody to subscribe for some reason. So I'm going to go back to trying to put everything on Facebook for sure, because we got more followers than we do on YouTube. And I'll still try to do them both. So we'll see. So let's get started here. I'm going to start out reading tonight. The Healing at Sundown. By the time Jesus and his apostles had made ready to partake for their evening meal near the end of this eventful Sabbath day, all Capernaum and its environs were agog over these reputed miracles of healing. And all who were sick or afflicted began preparations to go to Jesus or to have themselves carried there by their friends just as soon as the sun went down. And why did they wait till the sun went down?
Probably
The
because of the
Sabbath.
Sabbath.
Yeah, that's right, because of the Sabbath. According to the Jewish teaching, it was not permissible even to go in quest of health during the sacred hours of the Sabbath, and that's why, right? So they were all waiting for the Sabbath to start so they could go see Jesus about healing.
Soon as the sun sank, it would be Sunday morning.
That's right, Sunday morning. And sometimes they would wait till the sun just barely got down behind a house or a tree and then heads and then go, right? So, all right, dear, you're up.
You know, I knew a man that lived in New York,
A
and he
Jew?
told me, now he was older than me, and I'm older than sin, okay? But this was back, he was very, be probably over 100 now. But he made money as a child by going around to the Jewish homes, and he would light the stoves for them. They'd use wood-burning stoves, light wood-burning stoves for them on the Sabbath, because they were not allowed to do that. So he would light the stoves, and he paid him every week for it.
Wow, very ingenuitive.
Therefore, as soon as sun sank beneath the horizon, scores of afflicted men, women, and children began to make their way towards the Zebedee home in Bethsaida. One man started out with his paralyzed daughter just as soon as the sun sank behind the neighbor's house.
Good enough. You're muted.
Sorry, y'all. Okay, so soon as the sun sank beyond the horizon, people start getting up, moving, right? Going towards the house. All right. Pam, would you take the next one?
The whole day's events had set the stage for this extraordinary sundown scene. Even the text Jesus had used for his afternoon sermon had intimated that sickness should be banished, and he had spoken with such unprecedented power and authority. His message was so compelling. While he made no appeal to human authority, he did speak directly to the consciences and souls of men. Though he did not resort to logic, legal quibbles, or clever sayings, he did make a powerful, direct, clear, and personal appeal to the hearts of his hearers.
So he made a definite argument for it then, didn't he? All right. Rodney, would you take the next one?
That Sabbath was a great day in the earth life of Jesus. Yes, in the life of a universe. to all local universe intents and purposes, the little Jewish city of Capernaum was the real capital of Nabaton, a handful of Jews in the Capernaum synagogue were not the only beings to hear that momentous closing statement of Jesus' sermon. Hate is the shadow of fear, revenge the mask of cowardice. Neither could they, his hearers, forget his blessed words, declaring, "Man is a son of God, not a child of the devil."
He made that quite clear, didn't he? There. Because they all believed they were all children, that the devil owned them all. And many people believe that even today, and we know that's not the case. We know that's not even close to being true.
It's so interesting. Hate is the shadow of fear and revenge the mask of cowardice, because you can just think of, people that are, have disregard for a race or culture. Just like when the Irish moved here, names, throwing and, always looking down on people. So it's the shadow of fear.
I don't know if y'all remember, we all got together once and watched the movie Defending Your Life. Do y'all remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And it was all about this fear. You know, the whole movie was about, if people couldn't get over their fear, they couldn't go on to the next life, the mansion worlds, right? So it's kind of interesting that they say this here. All right. Gary, would you take the next one?
Soon after the setting of the sun, as Jesus and the apostles still lingered about the supper table, Peter's wife heard voices in the front yard and, on going to the door, saw a large company of sick folks assembling, and that the road from Capernaum was crowded by those who were on their way to seek healing at Jesus' hand. On seeing this sight, she went at once and informed her husband, who told Jesus.
All right. So as soon as this lady saw this, Peter's wife, right, heard voice in the front yard. As soon as she saw this and all these people coming, she was probably kind of freaking out, wasn't she? Right? That all these throngs of people were coming towards her house and they were all looking to Jesus to heal them.
I wonder what will happen.
We'll see here. Okay, here we go. All right, y'all just upgraded. So this is going out live to someplace anyway. I don't know where.
Good to know.
Yeah, it's good to know something's working.
Pluto.
Huh?
Pluto.
I still don't see it on YouTube, though. That is really strange. Okay, let's go on. Let me change the slide. When the master stepped out of the front entrance of Zebedee's house, his eyes met an array of stricken and afflicted humanity. He gazed upon almost 3,000 sick and ailing human
1,000.
I'm sorry, 1,000 sick and ailing. Notice how I just multiplied that, right?
Even 1,000 is a huge number.
Yeah, ailing human beings. At least that was the number of the persons gathered before him. Not all present were afflicted. Some had come assisting their loved ones in this effort to secure healing. So not everyone out there needed healing. I wonder if they all got well anyway.
Probably.
All right, Diane.
The sight of these afflicted mortals, men, women, and children, suffering in large measure as a result of the mistakes and misdeeds of his own trusted sons of universe administration, peculiarly touched the human heart of Jesus and challenged the divine mercy of the benevolent Creator Son. But Jesus well knew he could never build an entire spiritual movement upon the foundation of purely material wonders. It had been his consistent policy to refrain from exhibiting his creator prerogatives. Not since Cana had the supernatural or miraculous attended his teachings. Still, this afflicted multitude touched the sympathetic heart and mightily appeared to his understanding affection. Was a very kind.
So he had decided he wasn't just going to heal people haphazardly, was he? But this appealed to his human side. He felt sorry for these people. So see what happens here. See, Pam, would you take the next one?
A voice from the front yard exclaimed, "Master, speak the word, restore our health, heal our diseases, and save our souls." No sooner had these words been uttered than a vast retinue of seraphim, physical controllers, life carriers, and midwayers, such as always attended this incarnated creator of a universe, made themselves ready to act with creative power should their sovereign give the signal. This was one of those moments in the earth career of Jesus in which divine wisdom and human compassion were so interlocked in the judgment of the Son of Man that he sought refuge in appeal to his Father's will.
Okay, so he did what he always did habitually, didn't he? Right? He literally put it in the hands of his father, and that's what I was talking about in my book yesterday about how doing the will of God, at first when you try to do the will of God in your life, it's kind of a struggle because you're always asking, well, would this be the will of God? Is this the will of God? Or what is the will of God? And that sort of thing. But when you habitually start doing what is the will of God, it becomes second nature to you. So you don't even, you get to the point where you don't think about it. You automatically do what is the will of God. And that's the way Jesus was. Okay. He automatically did what God's will would be. All right. Let's go on to the next one. We'll see, Rodney, would you take the next one here?
All right. When Peter implored the master to heed their cry for help, Jesus, looking down upon the afflicted throng, answered, "I have come into the world to reveal the Father and establish his kingdom. For this purpose have I lived my life to this hour. If therefore it should be the will of him who sent me, and not inconsistent with my dedication to the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, I would desire to see my children made whole." But the further words of Jesus were lost in the tumult.
Okay, so as soon as he said when it, if when he said I would desire to see my children mo made whole, and if it was going to be the will of the Father, right? That was the next statement. All right, so
He stuttered.
he stuttered. That's right. Gary.
Jesus had passed the responsibility of this healing decision to the ruling of his Father. Eventually, the Father's will interposed no objection, for the words of the Master had sacredly been uttered when the assembly of celestial
Gary,
personality.
let me stop you. I want to make sure we hit this word right. That's evidently the will, the Father's will.
Okay, I'll go back.
Yeah,
Evidently.
I want to make sure that everybody knows it was evident that this was the Father's will. All right.
Evidently, the Father's will imposed no objection, for the words of the Master had scarcely been uttered when the assembly of celestial personalities serving under the command of Jesus's personified thought
Personalized.
adjuster, huh? Personalized, that's, thank you.
Yeah.
Personalized thought adjuster was mightily astir. The vast retinue
retinue
Retinue, the
descended.
vast retinue descended upon the midst into the midst of this motley throng of afflicted mortals, and in a moment of time, 683 men, women, and children were made whole.
Whoa.
Were, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were perfectly healed of all their physical diseases and other material disorders. Such a scene was never witnessed on earth before that day, not since. And for those of us who were present to behold this great wave of healing, it was indeed a thrilling spectacle.
Wow.
You know, I thought the thing I felt thought was kind of interesting about this was it he they were healed of all their physical diseases and material disorders. It doesn't say anything about their mental disorders, though, does it?
Right.
Well, it just
Yeah.
said disorders, so.
This says disorders, so.
So that paralyzed girl was made whole.
Yeah.
Makes you
Yeah.
wonder if anyone had lost a limb, if they regained it.
That's an interesting question, Rodney. I don't know. You know?
If they're.
I don't know if they had the technology back then for a person who lost a limb would be able to survive it.
Don't
You
know.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Even back then, they could cut off a limb and sear it with fire and, you know, close the vessel so they didn't bleed to death. So, you know, even back then they could do that. Also, if you were in battle and like, you know, like lost an arm or whatever, they would just take a hot poker and just sear that area and stop it from bleeding, you know. So I'm sure it was painful as all get out, but at least you wouldn't die. And this is just a picture of the healing. All right. But of all things, beings who are astonished at this sudden and unexpected outbreak of supernatural healing, Jesus was the most surprised. In a moment when his human interests and sympathies were focused upon the scene of suffering and affliction, they're spread out before him. He ne neglected to bear in his human mind the admonitory warnings of his personalizing gesture regarding the impossibility of limiting the time element of the creator prerogatives of the creator son under certain conditions. And in certain circumstances, Jesus desired to see these suffering mortals made whole if his father's will would not thereby be violated. The personalized gesture of Jesus instantly ruled that such an act of created energy at that time would not transgress the will of the Paradise Father, and that such a decision, in the view of Jesus' preceding expression of healing desire, the creative act was what a creator son desires and his father's wills is. Not in all of Jesus' subsequent earth life did another such in mass physical healing of mortals take place. So he checkmated himself, made sure that he never came to that point again, didn't he? All right. Let's see here, Diane.
As might have been expected, the fame of his sundown healing at Bethsaida in Capernaum spread throughout all Galilee and Judea and to the regions beyond. Once more were the fears of Herod aroused, and he sent watchers to report on the work and teachings of Jesus and to ascertain if he was the former carpenter of Nazareth, or John the Baptist risen from the dead to death.
Superstition.
You're muted.
Superstition, they still thought he was John come back from the dead, didn't they? All right, Pam.
Chiefly because of this unintended demonstration of physical healing, henceforth, throughout the remainder of his earth career, Jesus became as much a physician as a preacher. True, he continued his teaching, but his personal work consisted mostly in ministering to the sick and distressed, while his apostles did the work of public preaching and baptizing.
Believers.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Believers, baptizing believers. Yeah. Not non-believers, right? All right, Rodney, would you take the next one? Hey, Rodney, I just want to let you know on my chapter day, I think I quoted you twice. So,
Okay.
chapter 28, I think it is, I worked on today. You probably don't remember this, but back in last year when we were going through the thought adjuster papers, I swapped Mars and Jupiter around, and you corrected me on it.
Okay.
And I used the illustration in my book today. So,
Okay, cool.
yeah, I did.
I remember.
You remember that?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. But the majority of those who are recipients of supernatural or creative physical healing at the sundown demonstration of divine energy were not permanently spiritually benefited by this extraordinary manifestation of mercy. A small number were truly edified by this physical ministry, but the spiritual kingdom was not advanced in the hearts of men by this amazing eruption of timeless creative healing.
Did y'all
So,
catch that?
so interesting, yeah, that they, you
There
would
was not.
think that you would just be born again.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Ecstatic, yeah.
Just because of the healing, you would think they would all come to God, right? But
Yes.
that did not happen. So, all right. Gary, would you take the next one?
The healings, wonders, which every now and then attended Jesus' mission on earth, were not a part of his plan of proclaiming the kingdom. They were incidentally inherent in having a earth on earth a divine being of well-nigh unlimited creator prerogatives in association with an unprecedented combination of divine mercy and human sympathy. But such so-called miracles gave Jesus much trouble in that they provided prejudice, raising publicly and afforded much unsought notoriety.
Publicity and afforded unsought notoriety. So this caused more problems than it helped. You know, it's, you know, when you look back on this, you think of the faith healers that go around in tents and that sort of thing. That's not what happened here, right? Not even close. So I want to make sure that's clear. All right. For the evening after. Throughout the evening following this great outburst of healing, the rejoice and the happy throng overran Zebedee's home, and the apostles of Jesus were keyed up to the highest pitch of emotional enthusiasm. From a human standpoint, this was probably the greatest day of all the great days of their association with Jesus. At no time before or after did their hopes surge to such heights of confident expectation. Jesus had told them only a few days before, when they were yet within the borders of Samaria, that the hour had come when the kingdom was to be proclaimed in power. And now their eyes had seen what that was supposed was the fulfillment of that promise. They were thrilled by the vision of what was to come if this amazing manifestation of healing power was just the beginning. Their lingering doubts of Jesus' divinity were banished. They were literally intoxicated with the ecstasy of their bewildered enchantment. So they expected this sort of thing was just going to continue on over and over and over and get greater and greater and greater. But that's not what happened, was it?
Sure.
All right, Diane.
But when they sought for Jesus, they could not find him. The master was much perturbed by what had happened. These men, women, and children who had been healed of diverse diseases lingered late into the evening, hoping for Jesus' return that they might thank him. The apostles could not understand the master's conduct as the hours passed and he remained in seclusion. Their joy would have been full and perfect, but for his continued absence. When Jesus did return to their midst, the hour was late, and practically all of the beneficiaries of the healing episode had gone to their homes. Jesus refused the congregations and adorations of the 12.
Congratulations.
Oh, what did I say? Jesus refused the congratulations and adoration of the 12 and the others who had lingered to greet him, only saying, "Rejoice, not that my Father is powerful to heal the body, but rather that he is mighty to save the soul. Let us go to our rest, for tomorrow we must be about the Father's business."
So he always comes back to the fact that the material is not the important thing here, isn't it? It's the soul. It's the spiritual that's what's important.
Something that's permanent.
And it's permanent. That's right. Pam, would you take the next one?
And again, did the 12 disappointed, perplexed, and heart-sorrowing men go to their rest? Few of them, except the twins, slept much that night. No sooner would the master do something to cheer the souls and gladden the hearts of his apostles than he seemed immediately to dash their hopes in pieces and utterly to demolish the foundations of their courage and enthusiasm. As these bewildered fishermen looked into each other's eyes, there was but one thought. We cannot understand him. What does all this mean?
So they were still as confused as they always were, right?
Yeah.
All right, Rodney.
5. Early Sunday morning. Neither did Jesus sleep much that Saturday night. He realized that the world was filled with physical distress and overrun with material difficulties.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. And he contemplated the great danger of being compelled to devote so much of his time to the care of the sick and afflicted to his mission of establishing the spiritual kingdom in the hearts of men would be interfered with, or at least subordinated to the ministry of things physical. Because of these and similar thoughts, which occupied the mortal mind of Jesus during the night, he arose that Sunday morning long before daybreak and went all alone to one of his favorite places for communion with the Father. The theme of Jesus' prayer on this early morning was for wisdom and judgment, that he might not allow his human sympathy, joined with his divine mercy, to make such an appeal to him in the presence of mortal suffering that all of his time would be occupied with physical ministry to the neglect of the spiritual. Though he did not wish altogether to avoid ministering to the sick, he knew that he must also do the more important work of spiritual teaching and religious training.
So his goal, as in his bestowal, was to bring people spiritually to God, was it not? And
yep.
Bring men together. So his anything having to do with healing and stuff, this was all secondary. This was really an accident of time, if you think about it, because his real mission was spiritual. It wasn't to heal the sick and take care of all of men's little problems. All right. And that's the truth. That's our truth even today. When we have to associate what's most important to our lives, it's our spiritual lives that is the most important. Now, Gary, this was a really long one. I don't know if you can handle it.
It's a whole sentence.
Let me get my inhale later so I have enough breath. Jesus went out in the hills to pray so many times because there were no private room suitable for his personal devotions.
Okay, so that's why he went outside a lot of times. And Gary, I'm going to call on you to play to read again.
Okay, I still have a wind. Okay. Peter could not sleep that night. So very early, shortly after Jesus had gone out to pray, he aroused James and John, and the three went to find their master. After more than an hour's search, they found Jesus and besought him to tell them the reason for his strange conduct. They desired to know why he appeared to be troubled by the mighty outpouring of the Spirit of healing when all the people were overjoyed and his apostles so much rejoiced.
Okay, so they couldn't understand why he does what he does, right? For more than 4 hours, Jesus endeavored to explain to these three apostles what had happened. He taught them about what had transpired and explained the dangers of such manifestations. Jesus confided to them the reason for his coming forth to pray. He sought to make plain to his personal associates the real reasons why the kingdom of the Father could not be built upon wonder-working and physical healing, but they could not comprehend his teaching. So he understood that he couldn't build the kingdom off of such things. Miracles.
4 hours.
Yeah, miracles, miracles, and more miracles, right?
You know, it kind of shows you that the so-called spiritual healers, the con men of today, who are Benny Hill brings to mind, are just not in tune with what's important.
No, they're not. It's the same thing though, Gary, with those who are have these mega churches and their whole purpose is to collect money so they can live luxury lifestyles. You know,
You know,
it's the same principle.
I was gone by a church today that's close to my house, or not today, or the other day, and the church is now named Thrive Church. And it was Sunday, and I looked at the parking lot. It had a pretty good following, and I've noticed in the current churches of today, the big church, that's ones that's really thriving. They're kind of, the message is, come to God and you will be rewarded with physical goods and all that stuff, which is not right.
That is
Totally
wrong,
wrong, isn't it? It's
no,
totally
that's,
wrong.
yeah.
And that's that the mega church, the most popular churches are that way. People are not going for spiritual uplifting. They're going, I call them entertainment churches. They're going for entertainment. They're going to check the box. I went to church and showed the kids that we all go to church every Sunday and everybody has a good time and praises and all that stuff. But it's not anything to do with spiritual enlightenment or spiritual growth, either one. So that's what's
Roger,
sad about it.
my family grew up, I grew up going to church all of my life. And through church, that's what we heard about Jesus, how much he healed people. And that was everything that we knew about Jesus. And when I first read this, I thought, yep. I understand what this is saying here.
You do, because you're more mature too, Rodney, right? You're wiser now, as you know, with age becomes wisdom and you understand things more. And but it's a hard lesson to learn because we all like the concept of Santa Claus, right? We want God to be Santa Claus and give us everything we ever want and need, and he doesn't do that. So I'm sorry. All right. Ready, dear?
Yes. Meanwhile, early Sunday morning, other crowds of afflicted souls and many curiosity seekers began to gather about the house of Zebedee. They clamored to see Jesus. Andrew and the apostles were so perplexed that while Simon Zealots talked to the assembly, Andrew, with several of his associates, went to find Jesus. When Andrew had located Jesus in the company with the three, he said, "Master, why do you leave us alone with the multitude? Behold, all men seek you. Never before have so many sought after your teaching. Even now, the house is surrounded by those who have come from near and far because of your mighty works. Will you not return with us to minister to them?"
Now, were they seeking after him for his mighty teaching?
No.
No. No, they all wanted to gain something, right? All right. Pam, would you take the next one?
When Jesus heard this, he answered, "Andrew, have I not taught you and these others that my mission on earth is the revelation of the Father, and my message the proclamation of the kingdom of heaven? How is it then that you would have me turn aside from my work for the gratification of the curious and for the satisfaction of those who seek for signs and wonders? Have we not been among these people all these months, and have they flocked in multitudes to hear the good news in the kingdom? Why have they now come to besiege us? Is it not because of the healing of their physical bodies rather than as a result of the reception of spiritual truth for the salvation of their souls? When men are attracted to us because of extraordinary manifestations, many of them come seeking not for truth and salvation, but rather in quest of healing for their physical ailments and to secure deliverance from their material difficulties."
And that's exactly what they were doing, wasn't it? All right. Rodney, speak for Jesus here.
All this time I have been in Capernaum, and both in the synagogue and by the seaside have I proclaimed the good news of the kingdom to all who had ears to hear and hearts to receive the truth. It is not the will of my Father that I should return with you to cater to these curious ones and to become occupied with the ministry of things physical to the exclusion of the spiritual. I have ordained you to preach the gospel and minister to the sick, but I must not become engrossed in healing to the exclusion of my teaching. No, Andrew, I will not return with you. Go and tell the people to believe and that which we have taught them, and to rejoice in the liberty of the sons of God, and make ready for our departure for the other cities of Galilee, where the way has already been prepared for the preaching of the good tidings of the kingdom. It was for this purpose that I came forth from the Father. Go then and prepare for our immediate departure while I here await your return."
So he made it very clear that their mission there was spiritual. It wasn't physical, was it? It wasn't material in any shape, form, or fashion. So he basically said, "Go gather the things and I'll meet you back here," didn't he? All right, and that's about as plain as he could put it. So he's trying to keep to his original plans to preach. All right. Gary, would you take the next one?
When Jesus had spoken, Andrew and his fellow apostles sorrowfully made their way back to Zebedee's house, dismissed the assembled multitudes, and quickly made ready for the journey as Jesus had directed. And so, on the afternoon of Sunday, January 18th, AD 28, Jesus and the apostles started out upon their first really public and open preaching tour of the cities of Galilee. On this first tour, they preached the gospel of the kingdom in many cities, but they did not visit Nazareth.
All right, so they taught in a lot of cities, but they didn't go back to Nazareth, did they? All right. Let's see. That afternoon, shortly after Jesus and his apostles had left for Ramon, his brothers James and Jude came to see him calling at Zebedee's house. About noon of that day, Jude had sought out his brother James and insisted they go to Jesus. By the time James considered to go with Jude, Jesus had already departed, so he missed his brothers completely. All right, Diane.
The apostles were both loath to leave the great interest which had been aroused at Capernaum. Peter calculated that no less than 1,000 believers could have been baptized into the kingdom. Jesus listened to them patiently, but he would not consent to return. Silence prevailed for a season, and then Thomas addressed his fellow apostles, saying, "Let's go. The Master has spoken. No matter if we cannot fully comprehend the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, of one thing we are certain. We follow a teacher who seeks no glory for himself." And reluctantly, they went forth to preach the good tidings in the cities of Galilee.
You're muted.
Sorry, y'all. They realized that he wasn't going to go back regardless of what they said to him, right? It was not in his plan. All right, so next time we're going to go into the first preaching tour of Galilee, paper 146. So let me stop the share here. And
You went by fast.
it did, didn't it?
Seems like it did.
And then share the prayer of acceptance here.
Is it that time already?
It's
I
that
know,
time
it's amazing,
already.
isn't it?
We got through it pretty quick today, didn't we? Even with me trying to set up all the stuff for the thing, I'll try it again next time. I'll see what actually recorded on YouTube and Facebook after in the morning when we're done with this and see what adjustments I need to make. I may need to talk to somebody that made the software and see what I've done wrong. So, because it says on here in the streaming software, I have it scheduled, but it's still waiting for the host. And then another one, it seems it says that we were finished. So I'm not sure what happened. Prayer of acceptance. I think I'll say it tonight. The prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise father and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By the same faith, I became a child of God, know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the sovereign of our universe of Nebadon, as Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth, Amen.
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 And thank you, everyone at home, for coming listening to us. I'm going to get this worked out so you can listen to it on Facebook and listen to it on YouTube simultaneously if you want to. So
Yeah.
we'll just keep working at it best we
And
can. You know, that's all
Roger,
that we
you
can.
are live on YouTube.
Yes. Am I?
Yes.
Do you see us moving and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on YouTube.
Yes.
I wonder if I'm live on Facebook. Did you ever see us on Facebook, Gary? Did it ever come?
Oh, I've let me see if
You.
I can pull it up on my
Oh
phone.
no, don't worry about it. I'll check it in the morning. I gotta compile everything, so it'll be about another hour before I can look at it. But I'll check it in the morning. If it didn't go out, I'll post it on Facebook tomorrow. So we'll get it working one way or another. So the YouTube definitely worked then, huh, Rodney?
Yes.
Seems like it. Anyway, I know that short stop I did probably threw everything off because on the live feed on my screen here, it's been black the whole time, but on the YouTube one, it seems to have moved the whole time. So we'll see what I need to change to make that the case. So thanks y'all for being patient with me. We'll get it worked out and we plan on meeting Thursday and start a new paper again. All right.
All right.
Sound
One
good?
other thing, don't forget, Roger's book came out.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So move it down a little bit so they can see the title there, Rodney, and say something so your picture comes back up here.
Oh, So now do you see it?
Download.
Oh, you got the book?
There it
Yes.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Say
that's the
something. There you go.
hardback version. It's hard to see, but
Yeah.
there it is.
There it is. Well, I'm glad you got it, Rodney. Let me know what you think when you get done reading it,
All
you
right.
know? Yeah. And for y'all at home, you can order that on Amazon. Yes, for only. What's the softback is $19.95 and the hardback is $29.95, isn't it, Rodney? Actually, if
Yeah.
you buy it on the special days, it's less. So,
Really?
yeah, it is. So, and you can get it through Kindle for $9.95. And if you've never joined Kindle, you can get it for absolutely free by joining Kindle. So,
I don't know how Kindle works. Is it a subscription?
well, no, it's not a subscription. You just join it, and then you have access to thousands and thousands and thousands of books. I've got, I don't know how many listed on my Kindle of different types. You can get all kinds of things. I've got the Book of Eunuchs on mine. I think I have the Quran on it, and different things that interest me. I wanted to read,
Yeah.
frequently. So,
And you don't pay for those?
yes, they were like $9.99
I
each,
see.
$9.95 each, something like that.
The I think what you're referring to is the Kindle Unlimited, where they have a library where you can borrow
Right.
books
Yes.
and download it to your Kindle. And I think after 2 weeks or so, they have to, I don't know
Yeah.
what the
Yeah. It's
exact,
free for the
I
2 weeks,
don't do
and then you
that
have to
one.
purchase it if you want to keep it. So, type thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, but I don't subscribe to that, but I have Kindle, but I buy the books as I want them.
Yeah.
And I also, one of the features of a Kindle, what's nice, is you get a sample at no
Yeah.
charge.
Yeah.
You can read the first couple pages and say, yeah, no, yes, no,
Yeah. Yeah.
and that's it.
Well, I'm gonna warn everybody, none of my books are short. They're not a fast read, so
They are not
they're
a
written
fast
as
read, period.
Period. They're written as classes, just like I presented them on YouTube. So, that's why the one on I think of Jesus was 26 chapters, and if I remember correctly, because it was 26 classes. Now the one I'm working on now, the Thought Adjuster, is 30 something, so it's really long. So, but y'all are going to love this. If you sit and listen to the or watch this book, read this book about the Thought Adjuster, if it doesn't benefit you, you're either blind or stupid. I'm sorry. Because it's got so much good information, it's unreal in it. It's all those classes we did rewritten and combined so that it's a real class. So you'll enjoy it, I'm sure. You only can do one chapter at a time, though, because you try to do more than one chapter at a time, it's too much for the brain to absorb. So
Yeah.
anyway, so I love you guys. Thanks for coming,
Thank
and
you,
we will
Roger.
see you Thursday, okay?
All right.
Thank
All
you.
I'll
right.
see
Take
you.
care. I love you guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Everybody.